So that night, there was a big dinner, and a big president's dinner is what they say. And I remember they said, hey, Carisha, you go get Dave and pick one more person. And we want to take y'all out to dinner, and we want to get to know who you are. And they said, so who you going to get? Y'all know Mark Robinson? They said, well, no, we don't know him. You know him? No, I don't know him. But he liked to eat, too. So I went and grabbed him. And the next thing I knew, me and Mark have been friends ever since. And Yolanda, you don't get through the gate without going through the gatekeeper first. So on this note, everybody, it was my pleasure and my honor 2 weeks ago to stand in the rain, which I ain't never doing that again, but stand in the rain to hear him give his speech before becoming the new governor of North Carolina, Mark Robinson.
So on the podium here, these are not notes on my phone, because I hate notes. That's a timer, so I don't talk an hour. I can only talk 45 minutes. Is that right? 45 minutes is how long I'm supposed to talk. No, I'm just kidding. All right, very first thing we're going to do as always, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. Very first thing we're going to do as always, and I do this every time, we give thanks to our Lord and Savior, amen, Jesus Christ. Amen. Every time I speak, I do it. Why? Because I can tell you a story. You see, people look at me now and they think, oh yeah, that guy probably graduated from college and probably got a master's degree. His mom was probably this and his dad was probably that. And he probably grew up on this side of town. Yeah, we've seen it all before. No, sir, I've got a story to tell you. I've got a story to tell you about a little boy who grew up on Logan Street in Greensboro back in North Carolina, who was the ninth of ten children, who was poor, who watched his dad, who was an alcoholic, beat his mom, who used to wonder where he was going to end up in life, who used to have to watch his mom walk to work as a custodian to feed her family. I can tell you a story. And the story that I can tell you is this. I have overcome every obstacle that has been placed in front of me. My mother overcame every obstacle that was put in front of her. Our family has overcome every obstacle that has been put in front of me. When they told me I couldn't graduate from high school, I graduated from high school. When they told me I would never amount to anything in life because I'm poor and I'm black and I'm in the South, I amounted to something. And when they told me I couldn't be the first black lieutenant governor of North Carolina, look at me now. Why? Because on this side of the aisle, we don't operate off of ideas. Ideas are great. But how many of you all know that ideas will not become a reality unless you place some principles behind them? And that's what we do. We rely on principles. And where are our principles rooted? Our principles are rooted in our faith. Our principles are not rooted in the rules off of some television show. We don't run to Oprah Winfrey or Dr. Phil to look for advice on how to operate. When we face doubt, when we face fear, we don't find a safe space. Our safe space is in our closet on our knees, talking to God, asking for wisdom. That is our safe space. And because of that, we are able to do the miraculous things that we do and continue to shatter the narratives that we hear on the left. Now, in North Carolina, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. We're in a great place right now because we have a conservative majority. Let me say that again. We have a conservative majority that has done great work. But there is so much more that we've got to do. So much more. And the thing that I understand more than anything about and what I am about to face in the next stage of my life is this. They are going to attack. It will not matter if I'm silent. They are going to attack. It will not matter if I use all the right words. They are going to attack. It does not even matter if I decide just to sidestep the issue and walk away from it. They are going to attack. So I figure as long as they're going to attack, I might as well go ahead and attack first. Because here it is. For too long, for too many decades. We have allowed the forces of evil, and yes, I call them the forces of evil. We have allowed them to dictate the conversation. We have allowed them to dictate the conversation on your Second Amendment rights. We have allowed them to dictate the conversation on life. We have allowed them to dictate the conversation on education. We have allowed them to dictate the conversation on how we take care of our veterans. And we have allowed them to dictate the conversation on our law enforcement. That cannot happen anymore. You see, because the policies that we place into practice, they work. They work, and theirs do not. If you do not believe me, take a look at a place called California. A once great state that is now falling apart at the seams. And it's not falling apart at the seams because of osmosis or just by happenstance. It is falling apart at the seams because of bad policies and bad people who are pushing bad policies. And yes, I called them bad people because I can assure you of this. If you believe that a five-year-old should have transgender surgery, I am sorry, but you are a bad person. You are a child abuser, and you should be placed in jail, and I draw a hard line with that. If our society continues to co-sign on the abusing of our children in that way, we will not have a society for long. The newspapers can get mad at me. The television can get mad at me. But as long as God Almighty is on my side, and I know He is on that issue, I do not have a problem with stating what is obvious. You do not put your hands on children in that way. And any person that seeks to do it is a bad person. And I'll stand in opposition to them every day of the week. These policies that we see that are not punishing criminals. You think about it. $900. If it's $900 or less, no prosecution. $900 is not a whole lot to Walgreens or Walmart. But how much does $900 mean to you and your family? How much does it mean to that construction worker, that firefighter, that teacher, that single mom that's struggling to take care of her children? $900 is a lot of money. And any DA that does not prosecute that is complicit in crime. We've got to hold those folks accountable and get them out of office. You see, their policies destroy. They destroy cities, communities, states. And if we allow it, they will destroy this nation. We cannot allow that. We've got to look towards states like Florida, where people are abandoning California. And what are they doing? Going straight to Florida. Why? Because Florida is run by great policy. They're coming to places like Georgia that's run by great policy. They're coming to places like North Carolina, Tennessee, and others where conservative policies are the majority. Where the economies are firing on all cylinders because of it. Now, here's the last thing I'm going to say to you. Here it is. We talk a lot about our conservative principles. And I'm going to come around here on the other side of this podium because I want to get real close up on you when I say this. We talk a lot about our positions. We talk a lot about what we believe. And we do a lot of talking to each other. But it doesn't matter what the hill of beans if you do that with just each other. Doesn't matter. If you're only talking about it in your house, it's not going to go anywhere except in the ears of the people who live with you. See, conservatives have got to stop just talking to each other. And we've got to get out into the community. And we've got to start talking about to the people in those communities and tell them why the policies that many of them are voting for is actually destroying the communities they live in. We've got to brush up on the issues, know the issues, know where they're coming from, know the ins and outs of all of it. So when we have a conversation about these things, we can refute the false narrative that are being preached to people every day to continue to push them into voting for people who do not have their best interest at heart. So I'm encouraging each and every one of you today to take a look at what this rally is all about. It's about placing faith over fear. I have never understood for the life of me how anyone who says they are a Christian can then say, Well, you know, I would go out there and fight for those children, but have you seen what the news media does to people? I don't want them to call me a bigot, and I don't want them to dox me and cancel me, and I don't want them coming after me. Lord, have mercy. Where would we be if Noah hadn't had the courage to build the ark? If Moses hadn't had the courage to lead his people out of Israel? Where would we be if Daniel hadn't went into that lion's den and saw that lion's mouth shut? Where would we be if that little old ruddy-faced boy hadn't gone out there and faced Goliath? You see, that's a good example of what's going on right now. I'm sure there was some grown men out there who probably looked out there at Goliath, and they probably said, yeah, I don't like what he's saying out there, but, you know, I got a good job over here signing these swords or whatever for the guys go out there fighting. I got a great job and great position. I don't go out there and get killed by Goliath. And all of a sudden, this little boy steps up. You look at who God chooses for positions. Look at who he chooses and look who we choose. When we go to choose people, we get cleaned up people. The polished politician that knows how to dot every I and cross every T and looks just right and says all the right things. You see, God doesn't do that because God doesn't want them to get the credit. God wants to get the glory. So he picks the least obvious. He picks an old man with a stick, Moses. He picks three boys to go stand up to the king and stand in that furnace. And he picked a ruddy, pimple-faced little boy to go face Goliath. And he got the glory. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you should adhere to fear. Don't allow them to tell you to adhere to fear because you're too old or you're not educated enough, because you didn't come from the right side of the tracks, because you're not the right color, because you didn't dot all the I's and cross all the T's. If God has placed faith inside of you and you believe in him, you stand up, you move forward in his name, and he will move mountains. He will open seas. He will shut lions' mouths, and he will bring you to victory. No longer can we be afraid, folks. We have got to stand up for what we believe in. We've got to stand up in it in God's name and for the country that God has helped us build. So let's all stand up and make sure that we do what's right. And what is right is to stand on God's word and God's principle and protect this blessed nation that he has given us. Let's not be afraid. Let's choose faith over fear and move forward and win the battle for the soul of this nation. God bless you all. God bless the great state of Georgia, and God bless the great state of North Carolina. Thank you.